Coming up at 11, it's News and Commentary Podcast Week. Do you know where your stick figure squad is? They're here on the show. All this, plus Christy's got your traffic and Jim is in our weather center. Coming up right now on this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. The Stick Figure Squad is figuring out their concept for their daily technology news podcast. Because of their win during List Week, Kristen and Bobby also got to chat with Roger Chang of the Daily Tech News Show. We'll listen to that, their coaching session with Tom, and at the end of the show, we'll hear their finished submission. But before any of that, let's touch base with Bobby. I'm here with Bobby of Stick Figure Squad. Hello.
Hi. How's it going, Brian?
Good. Coming off of a really good review yesterday.
Oh my gosh, was it?
I think you guys were really number one. You were hoping that this was going to be the turnout for your show, but also I think in the past couple of weeks you've kind of gotten a lot of criticisms, even on weeks where you've won. It seems like the judges were pretty harsh, but they had a lot of great things to say about your show.
Yeah, there were, we've been getting a lot, like you said, we've been getting a lot of criticism lately, and all warranted, I think. It took Jenny, I think Jenny for me twice talked about the intros that I've been doing and dramatic readings and everything. And I think, and it did hurt. It stung a little bit for her to say the second time, like, why haven't you been learning this?
Right.
We've
right.
told you. But I think it's because I realized what she was saying. And it's like, I was confused because I was like, I did bring down the drama a little bit the second time. But I realized the two contexts in which she was saying that was, when we were doing the science week and then this investigation thing, and I realized, wait a minute, both of those were times that we were doing like journalism. And I think that's what she was saying, and it kind of hit me finally, like, oh, okay, well, yeah, it's journalism. Like, that's the adding the drama to it is kind of like editorializing it and straying away from the journalistic aspect of it.
I see. So it wasn't really as much a criticism of you don't do a very good dramatic voice, because I think you do, and I think you used it to great effect on this most recent one with the top ways your brain is lying to you.
Right, yeah, yeah.
With your top ways your brain is lying. You do a great job of that, and I'm glad.
Thank you.
I'm glad you did bring it for this last one, and I think the fact that she didn't bring anything up about it means that you used your power for good and right. not for evil.
Right. Which that's and I thought a lot about that for that exact reason for this week, because I wanted to do it read that way, and my wife specifically asked me, she said, you've been criticized about this before, are you sure that you're supposed to, are you sure you're going to do it this way? And I was like, good point. So I thought about it, and I think that's where I came to that conclusion. I was like, no, I really think it was just that whole journalism thing, and I guess I it seems I interpreted that correctly, because like you said, she didn't ding me for it this time.
Boy, and doing it a third time, if she was going to ding you, she would have dinged you. Like if she was going to disagree with your use of it, you would have heard about it. So I think that's a very good sign. And you guys are doing great as far as like the chemistry and style. I know Scott mentioned this, and I'm totally going to reiterate it, but you've got a very natural way of taking something that I think is somewhat scripted, and I don't even know to what degree the stuff you're looking at is scripted. You do a great job of making it sound unscripted, and you got to be commended for that. I think it's really, really good.
Yeah, so I think there are two ways. So to answer your question, or your implied question, yes, I actually do script it a lot. Not word for word in most cases, but in some cases I do. It depends on what kind of point I'm trying to make and what kind of time constraints there are. So yes, there is some scripting that goes on there, and some people do well unscripted and some people do well scripted, and I'm just one of those people. I sit on a line, I think, between them, and I do decently well scripted. I actually have a background in education, I guess, and training. I used to work for a big insurance company. It's been long enough. I don't think there's a... It was Blue Cross Blue Shield of South Carolina. I used to...
I think we're probably safe. And
yeah. Not that it matters or anything, but I did work for a big... and I trained a big staff there. And I used to have to do a lot of like... Like, I guess this is speaking to what you said about being able to take something read, but also educating and explaining things. That's really what I mean, is explaining things is kind of like something I really enjoy doing. So I guess it kind of ignites a passion in me when I'm doing that, you know?
Good. Well, it's very well done. And this is coming from somebody, I mean, I think that I'm okay at doing it. I do script out for a lot of the things I do. I script out a lot of the bulk of it and then do embellish and add and kind of make it sound improvised. So maybe it's just somebody who does it as well, does it also recognizing somebody who does it very well. So,
well, thank you.
Congratulations on that. All right. And now let's talk about this week. You guys are taking on tech, which I think is a great subject for you guys. It's also pretty smart because the person who's going to be giving you your big coaching session this week, Tom, is the tech guy. And so going to be able to both coach you on doing tech and doing daily content and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that when we picked tech, or I was leaning towards that. But I did think about it after the fact that that's going to be cool. It was a double bonus. Like last week also, I mean, I guess both of us, both teams, had the benefit of talking to Tom, also does a list podcast. So,
right. Yeah. And which I didn't even realize when I set that challenge, couldn't believe that was the thing he opened up with out of the gate is that, oh yeah, well, Brian, I do a list podcast. Really? Oh, great. Okay. I mean, yeah, I knew that, or used to do lists for CNET, which is great. So he has a lot of advice on that as well. Have you guys figured out, I know it's pretty early on, but are you figuring out the format of your show? Is it going to be, are you going to kind of continue that conversational feel that you guys do well with? Or
yeah, we talked a lot about that. And I think we want to stay with a similar format to what we did before. We talked a little bit about, was that risky to do something similar to what we've already done? But
sure.
But we really feel like we're very comfortable with it. And I mean, it's not a very specific format. So I think it's okay. Like lots of shows can use that format. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's cheating too much. You know what I mean?
Sure. As long as you open the show with, here are your top five tech headlines.
Right. As long as it's not too much copy and paste.
Sure.
but I think we're going to stick with that kind of thing. We're hammering out the format now. That's absolutely what we're working on. There's going to be a little bit of a challenge with me this week because I think I said this after we stopped recording the judging episode, which was I pretty much completely cleared my schedule for the entire duration of this competition because I was like, I want to be completely available, put everything into it that I can.
Of course,
there was one event that I wasn't able to clear, and it was my brother's wedding on one weekend, and it happens to be this week, and it happens to be on the weekend where we're not getting our stuff until Friday.
Right.
But it's not going to be, I'm still going to be able to do it. I'm going to be going, it was always going to be just basically an overnight thing anyway. I'm leaving Friday night and coming back on Saturday. So we'll still be able to record. We're working around it, but as a result, we're putting all of our ducks in a row beforehand and making sure everything is good. We're even setting up like we've even agreed to get our format down. We're going to come up with some fake practice news items, and we're going to do a like dry run of it.
Yeah.
So we can iron out any of the kinks and problems and wrinkles in our format, all that kind of stuff. So we're trying to like do a lot of prep ahead of time, which in my experience of, I haven't done daily shows, but I've done shows that are this like live to hard drive format before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know from experience, a lot of prep ahead of time is what you really got to focus on. So,
for sure.
So that you're as prepared as you can be going into it.
Yeah, you want the only unknown that you have going into Friday just being the tech stories that you're going to be talking about. You want everything else right. to be figured out, nailed down, and ready.
Right.
Brilliant. Well, that's the way to do it. Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys come up with.
Yeah, we're excited about this week, so I'm Terrific. Looking forward to doing it.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, Bobby.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan.
All right, Stick Figure Squad, your guest coaching session today is with DTNS producer and host Roger Chang. You are a producer as well, right, Roger?
Yeah, I'm the show's producer.
Yeah, I figured it was a behind-the-scenes thing, but also a in-front-of-the-microphone thing, which is perfect because these guys are going to be producing a daily news and commentary show. They really only have to produce one episode, but they basically get a little over 24 hours to do it. So it's going to be a good challenge for them. Besides DTNS, Roger has worked with Tech TV back when it was ZDTV and then after the name change, as well as CNET. And he's been on the Screensavers and Call for Help. The dude has done everything, and we're so lucky to have him here. Stick Figure Squad, please welcome Roger Chang.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, thank you for having me here. No, I hope I can help you in your task.
Absolutely. And your 10 minutes begins now.
Okay. All right, Roger. Sorry, my kid just walked in the room right at that moment. So I'm going to be doing this while I open up some fruit snacks. So first question I really have is because we're in the process of trying to formulate and come up with a format that we can kind of plug something into since we have such short time after we get our headlines. Is there a formula or a trick to formatting the new segments that you guys do and everything?
When you say format, do you mean like the structure of how everything rolls out, or format like?
Yeah, well, like how each of those, like, here's a news item and we're gonna present it and report on it and talk about it. Is there like a formula to that, or is it just what I just said?
Well, essentially, I the way I work in particular is I judge of how long the show is, what I aim the show to be. So whether it's 30 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. And then I figure the best way to segment out that time. So if I'm just reading headlines, I say, well, if it's going to be a 15 minute show, I can just do headline reads and then do like a bigger in-depth thing at the end, or I can just leave it as is where it's all headlines. But really the things that start in my head are, what do I want as my total running time? And more importantly, what do I find would be the most engaging for a listener to have? For example, if I just rattle off headlines and news stories, is that something that people are going to say, hey, that's really interesting? Or is it going to be a format that's going to have me there and then their eyes just glaze over?
Right.
You
know,
you want to ensure that if you are doing something, you just don't want to be a straight talking head where you're just basically reading a Reuters or an AP story. You want to make sure that you do a summation that makes sense. But also explains it. So, you know, why you should care. If, you know, rates go up, why should you care? Because as a homeowner and you don't have like a 30-year locked in mortgage, or you have a variable rate mortgage, you may see your, you know, next payment go up or whatever. So it's kind of figuring out where I want to be and how much space do I have to do it.
So do you think that like making it relevant to the listener is pretty important then?
Yes, always, because the content needs to connect and be compelling enough for the listener to sit through it. If, for example, I have very little interest in sports, and so if I listen to a sports podcast, I'm probably not going to sit for very long. However, if they make it engaging in a way that I think would compel an audience that may not be super into the sports, I could do it from a celebrity angle, or I could do it from an angle. And that's kind of, you know, where most of these podcasts come from, is how do I take something that someone's already probably done, but engage the listener in a way that makes it interesting and compelling for them.
What's the level of intelligence that you go at with your listener base? Do you break down simple things, or do you leave it as an assumption that they understand at least X knowledge?
That is a very good, but it's also a very difficult question to answer. And again, this is kind of where you want your intended audience to be. And, you know, when I say intended audience, typically what I envision is the kind of audience I would be if I was on the other end. What would I want to hear from a podcast? What would I want to hear from this particular podcast? For example, the show we do, Daily Tech News Show, we do assume a certain level of technology information awareness and knowledge. So people know what a smartphone is. They know what an app is. They know what Spotify, they know what Uber, they know, Amazon Prime. They know those terms. They know what they mean. Okay. So we're not constantly explaining them. However, if it's a new thing, for example, cryptocurrency, that's something we've been talking for quite some time. Cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, we will break that information down because that's not as widespread and it's relatively recent.
Okay.
So if you were doing a movie podcast and you were doing a new genre of film, everyone knows what an action film is. Everyone knows what a rom-com is. There's this new kind of action rom-com or something where you want to essentially break down, okay, this is what this means. This is why it's different than your traditional rom-com, why it's different than your traditional action.
Okay.
That makes sense. When you're thinking about how in-depth to go with something, do you just gauge that on, like you said before, like how much time are you looking for this to take?
Yes. So how in-depth you want to get is really based on time and, again, what your podcast is about. Our friends over at Twiz, This Week in Science, they do a podcast that's roughly an hour, hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. And they go really in-depth in the news stories. Daily Tech News Show is conscientiously always a 30-minute show because we envision the audience as someone who listens to our podcast either on a commute or in their lunch break or on their jogging run. So we know we have to fit a certain amount of time. Now, if you've allotted yourself an hour and you have 5 stories that you want to go a little more in depth to, it's much easier to give yourself that kind of time to go into it. But there have been cases I have done basically a streaming live show where, you know, it doesn't matter how long it runs. And that generally spells kind of a problematic issue where things tend to get very rambly.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I've always been in favor of hard limits is that it kind of refocuses what you want to get at. It's very easy to give yourself a lot of time and then just talk, you know, ad infinitum about something. But when you give yourself a specific amount, like 30 minutes, 45, an hour, now you're under the gun. Now you have to say, how do I explain this topic in 5 minutes so that even my parents, my grandparents, someone I know on the street, I can explain it to them and they say, aha, I get it. I understand what this is about. I can make a more informed decision because of it.
Okay.
That's a really good point. So, I was listening to DTNS. When I do listen to it, I noticed that this is about citing sources. I know that a lot of times sources aren't cited. Is that it? What kind of responsibility do you have to do that?
We used to source all the stories. So we used to say this comes from the BBC, this comes from CNET, and we still occasionally do that.
Okay.
Part of it is some of these stories we wanted to kind of keep the pacing a little bit, but when it's something where a story has been covered by multiple outlets, we will generally kind of condense all that information. We'll cross-reference it with each other. So, for example, one news site will have the name of a product, but another site not only has a name, but they also have a date. While a third one might have, specific tech specifications that the other two lack. So we kind of coalesce them. And it's somewhat helped by the fact that a lot of these news items that we get are often announcements from the company themselves.
Right.
So it's, like when we say Google announced, it's coming from Google because they announced they have X product coming at the end of March or the end of the year. It's going to be $50. You know, if you want to subscribe to the service that goes along with it, it's going to be an extra $20 each month.
Right. Kristen, what else you got?
When you decide to do and I know we have it notated here, but do you worry about news writing details when you're investigating or you're talking about the headlines as present or past tense? Is that just something that you're just because you are talking about a headline, it's assumed it's right now?
So if it's something that just came out, say like there's a new smartphone on the market from Apple. They have a new iPhone X Pro or whatever the heck it is at this point. I'm totally spacing. What we will do is we'll talk about the product that's coming out in the present tense, but we will refer to its antecedents as in the future sense, but we'll also talk about its the previous models in the past tense. So remember when the original iPhone came
okay.
out? It came, and that, I mean, part of it is that grammatically, yeah, you want to refer to things that are in the present tense, that's happening now in the present tense. If you're referring to previous instances of the product, or for example, if you're talking about politics, and you're talking about a region, you want to talk about the previous governments and previous policies, you will refer to that in the past tense, because again, it's in the past tense. It's in the past, but you know, we include it because it allows context and adds some more information to, you know, what we're saying. You know,
okay.
if Apple came out with a new iPhone, you know, everyone knows there were previous iPhones, but you might not have known that the phone that came before this one also featured yada, yada, yada. So this is not a new thing, even though the company's making a big deal out of it. It's part of our analysis.
Tom Merritt had some good advice for our team. Let's listen.
So how are you feeling about this challenge? It's a pretty brilliant challenge, isn't it? Great
yeah.
idea.
Whoever thought of it is the best thinker ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
How are y'all thinking of approaching it?
I think we, after doing as well as we did last week, I think we're thinking of, we're thinking of doing it straight, like just as a news discussion format, you know, like really yeah. DTNS style, to be honest.
Which topic are you going with?
Tech.
You're going with tech. Okay,
yeah.
Good. And so you've got 15 minutes, you've got three stories. How are you going to allocate those?
Kristen, why don't you explain that? Because this was your idea.
So I kind of went off of it going three of these headlines are going to be, not all of them are going to justify a whole big long discussion about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to go, we kind of were thinking that one of them will be here's the headline, here's the fact, like maybe a question about it and move on. The second one would kind of be the same format, maybe a little bit more back and forth. But then the third topic or the third headline, depending on what it is, we really kind of go into that on a more 5 to 7 minute meatier topic
mm-hmm.
and discuss it. And that would be more of why it's a daily news discussion than here's just blah headlines.
That's a perfectly acceptable way to approach that is a classic news show, and it makes it all about the execution. You're
right.
Not going to win points with the judges on format, but that's not necessarily the best place to win the points anyway.
Well, we kind of went out, like, we didn't want to feel like we had blinders on.
Uh-huh.
So we sat here and I kind of threw out, and I was just like, do we want to think that we're in the future and these are headlines? Like, did we want to go out there with it?
Uh-huh.
And I think Bobby went, no, we don't, because I don't think there's a way to do this without giving up some of the actual honesty of the tech news part of it. So
and
I
ultimately,
think we just decided to feel comfortable in doing it a straightforward way.
Yeah, ultimately we were worried about, not so much worried about, but I just don't want to, I just feel like it's risky. Like why do something different and out there if we're okay and feel good about doing it just a straight like news and discussion type format?
Mm-hmm.
Why force something different, because we didn't have any like early brilliant ideas about it, so
Well, so then the places where you're going to score points are in your production value, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to want to have little musics and stingers.
Yeah.
Maybe even you might even want to fit in like an email or a, you know, like historical point of the day or some mini segment like that, potentially as a stinger at the end, something to give it a little flavor beyond the news. And really, it's going to matter is how enjoyable and insightful is your interpretation, reporting, and discussion. That's what's going to make or break it. So you're really going to have to keep that energy up. You know, don't go crazy. You don't want to overdo it and sound fake. But you know, make sure that what you're saying is compelling. That you've got good insights. That it's efficient. You're not rambling along because you don't have a lot of time. It's that easy.
Yeah. Right.
And I think it plays to Bobby and I's strength of the chemistry we've built over the last 8 weeks, that we can not necessarily script it, but still talk confidently about it and be knowledgeable about it when we actually talk the topics and the headlines themselves.
Yeah, Kristen, you're just going to have to punch your delivery up. That was, I saw that the judges were saying that the energies didn't match. So because your insights match, everything that you're saying matches, and I don't see why this week would be any exception to that. So just kind of try to address that critique from them. And I think you're right. I think that chemistry is going to really shine.
Yep.
Do you think that there's a, how do you prepare with a co-host on a show like this? How do you prepare for a discussion? Do you have your points outlined ahead of time? Or are you relying on just, you know, and do you know what each other's kind of going to say going into it? Like you're both prepped with each other. Like how do you approach that?
Sure. What we do is we make sure to write up the stuff that has to get across.
Sure.
And so when you listen to DTNS, you hear the setup, right? And that's pre-written. Here are the facts. Here's what it is. Here's the important thing you need to know about this to have a discussion. And then we will talk before the show about like, what's the main takeaway here? What's the thing that we can say that people might not expect? What is the argument we can have that will be interesting and help people to understand this, right?
Yeah, I think it's important to kind of know where you're going, but not be sure about the destination. Don't spoil the conversation before you have it, essentially.
It's a trick. Don't have the conversation before the show, but know enough about what each other thinks so that you can head in that direction.
Right.
Okay.
That makes a lot of sense.
There will definitely be times, Patrick knows this, where we'll start to talk about a story ahead of time and go, wait, we're doing the show before the show. Stop that.
Because there's a freshness to the conversation that you want to keep the first time that you want to keep for sure.
Okay.
And we've actually done that before too.
You've experienced that. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
So is there a trick to formatting any of these news segments? Like, is there a formula to it, or do you just
go to signposts?
Such as
when you're saying, okay, we're going to report on this thing. Is there like a way that you always format it, you know, where you have like a lead, then the details?
Oh, you mean in the pre-written part?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There is. You want to say the thing that it is first. This is the key about writing for speaking versus writing for reading. When you go to TechCrunch and The Verge, and sometimes this drives me nuts, they will start with an anecdote. Like, the thing about Apple is they never quite understand that your ear is different than theirs. It's like, no. In audio, you can't do that. You just say, Apple released new AirPods today, right? The most important thing, what we're talking about is first. Then what I try to do is imagine, well, what's the next question? And the next question is, how are they different than the AirPods that were released before? Like, these new AirPods have transparency mode so you can hear the world around you, or noise canceling. Like, oh, okay. And is there anything really interesting about how that works that you need to know to have a conversation? Well, Apple stole this technology from Bose 3 years ago, and there's a lawsuit. That's not true, but you know, that's the kind of thing you'd want to put in for context. And then there's always the finishing, which is the action. Like, okay, and when can I get them, and how much are they? Right. So for every story I write, that's kind of roughly the process I'm going. Like, what is it? And what are the questions about it that I would immediately have that I need to answer with facts? And keep the evaluative statements out of it. It's the worst or the best. That's for your discussion. You want to save stuff for the talking between the two of you.
That's really good. I'm glad we asked you that question then, because I might have gone the anecdote route.
It eats up time. If you have an hour long show, then the anecdote wait isn't necessarily a bad way to go. But if you really just need to get to the heart of the matter, which in 15 minutes with only three stories, you only got 5 minutes per story. And if you want to have a little conversation, yeah, you got to get right to it.
Right.
Okay. So that's really good. I asked, I think...
Roger.
I asked Roger about citing sources. It doesn't sound like on DTNS you guys usually worry too much about citing sources unless it's like a quote or something specific like that.
We have a DTNS style guide. I don't know if you mentioned that.
No, he didn't.
I don't have it right in front of me, but the style guide essentially says, if this is something that everybody could have gone to, right, or is known by everybody because it's a press release, then you don't have to cite your sources.
Okay.
If it's something that only one outlet knew, right? Bloomberg has a source that says that Apple is going to release a car. Then we cite that because Bloomberg needs to get credit for digging up the source, and also the listener needs to know where the information is coming from.
Right. Okay.
If Samsung just releases a press release, then you don't have to cite The Verge or Engadget. You say Samsung announced. So you always need to give where the information is coming from. It's either coming from the company or it's coming from an event that everybody saw, like Apple held a press conference, or it's coming from a source tells Reuters, a source tells Bloomberg.
Right. Okay.
And that's time. Well, you just couldn't have done better as far as like leaving a nice little gap for me to interrupt.
Well, this is great. You guys are going to do awesome.
I hope so.
Thanks, Tom.
I can't wait to hear it.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Patrick.
Yeah, thanks,
Good
Patrick.
Good luck.
And Brian.
And okay. Brian, of course.
Shoot. They can't thank you. It's kind of like influencing the judges.
Oh, I'm not a judge.
No, he's just the host.
By proxy. Somehow it'll...
Yes, influencing the host.
I do take bribes. Let's listen in on their work sessions.
The show we just did, it's kind of like we can all... I don't know if this is cheating or not, but it's kind of like the same thing. It's just not a list. Like, we'd just be doing headlines. Like, why... Why try to be fancy with it? Why not just do it straight?
I kind of agree with it. The reason why I agree with it was because it Jury specifically said don't reinvent the wheel.
Yeah. I don't think it's worth trying to like do something crazy, you know?
No.
Because
I think we stick with a structure. I think honestly, daily morning blank show.
It's November 1st, 2019, and on today's episode of The Morning Megabyte, Tanzania is getting their first smart feature phone.
Apple TV Plus is now live and free for a year with Apple TV, Mac, and iOS purchases.
And Google buys Fitbit for $2.1 billion. Get ready for your daily dose of news and discussion on The Morning Megabyte.
The Morning Megabyte.
Hey everyone, I'm Bobby Frankenberger. This is The Morning Megabyte. We're here to bring you the top technology news stories of the day with our own little brand of discussion and analysis to go along with it. As usual, I'm here with my co-host, Kristen Stubblefield.
Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning, Kristen. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. Bright and sunshiny here.
Yes, so why don't we start the day off, as we always do, with a history lesson.
Your day in tech history.
On November 1st, 1968, the voluntary rating system that we know and love today, which tells us what movies are too risque for our children to be exposed to, was introduced by MPAA Chairman Jack Valenti. It replaced the Hays Code, which was in place at the time and authorized movies based on whether it was deemed moral or not. But this new rating system would be parent-focused and aim to inform parents of the maturity level of the content in the movie. The ratings were originally G, M, R, and X. The M would later become PG, and the X rating would become NC-17. So, Kristen, I didn't know this before I looked into it. Did you know that smoking was added in 2007 as a factor in the film rating process?
I didn't know it was added to that, but it totally makes sense, since now in modern movies, when I see them smoking, it kind of takes me out of the movie.
It is. I hadn't really thought about that, but it is weird, isn't it? You know, you didn't think about it before, but now you see someone smoking, and you're like, who is this
person? It's a little jarring, definitely.
Yeah. All right, let's get on to the news. Tanzania is getting their first smart feature phone. Tanzania's top cellular network company, Vodacom, has announced today that they are launching their first smart feature phone, the Smart Kitachi, for users in Tanzania. Smart feature phones, if you weren't aware, are cheaper, lower-power cell phones that have keypads and aren't smartphones in themselves, but come equipped with many smartphone features and apps like Facebook, YouTube, Google Maps, Google Assistant, stuff like that, GPS, all that kind of stuff. This new phone, the Smart Kitachi, uses the KaiOS, a mobile device operating system that uses a Linux kernel. KaiOS specializes in providing these more advanced apps for smart feature phones, but without draining their batteries. It starts at a discounted price of 48,000 Tanzanian shillings, which equates to $20. It includes a monthly bundle of 4 gigabytes of data, 100 minutes of talk time, 500 SMS, and all of that for the first 6 months. And it also boasts up to 6 hours of talking time. Now, Kristen, I actually think this seems like a really great thing that these phones can be made so cheaply, so that access to the internet in these parts of the world that have heretofore sort of had difficulty having penetration of like the internet into these areas, it seems like these types of phones are a really great thing.
Yeah, it shows that you really take for granted the technology we have here in the US. I would have never kind of thought that other places have this kind of problem.
Yeah, there are parts of the world that we have a lot of difficulty with. And these sort of very cheap phones that are smart feature phones, that's what they specialize in, is getting these devices into the hands of areas where it's been sort of historically difficult.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's from KaiOS, the people who make the operating system, on their website, there was an interesting quote that said 34% of the world's population aren't subscribed to mobile services, and 57% don't use mobile internet due to price point and lack of access, and that it's these users that smart feature phones benefit the most. So seems like they're doing a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Apple TV Plus is now live and free for a year with Apple TV, Mac, and iOS purchases. Yo, dog, I heard you like Apple products, so your Apple product is now giving you free Apple products. Receive a free year's worth of Apple TV Plus with new purchases of an Apple TV, Mac, or any iOS purchase. Apple launched its streaming video service with a varied and sizable library of content, all for $4.99 a month. Anyone that has purchased a new iPhone, iPad, iPad Touch, Apple TV, or Mac since September, the new streaming service is a $60 perk. A year-long subscription is gifted in the purchase. Current content includes shows such as The Morning Show, C, Snoopy in Space, as well as the documentary The Elephant Queen, and talk shows such as Oprah's Book Club. Streaming and offline downloading is available, as well as the Apple TV Plus recalling your progress across all connected devices. Bobby, are you cord cutter? I'm kind of a cord cutter myself, only having Netflix, Prime, and Hulu as my streaming services.
Yes, I am a cord cutter. Netflix, I do have Amazon Prime and Hulu, yeah. I think those are the ones that I have also. I'm trying to think right now. But yes, I am a cord cutter, and I'm not much of an Apple person, but like this is worth maybe checking out. It's $5 a month is a really nice price to just try it out. You
right.
know?
I'm not an Apple user in any way, so I don't really see myself being the type of person to pick this up. I'd rather spend my money on something maybe coming out like Disney Plus.
Well, I'm definitely getting Disney Plus. Don't get me wrong.
The stay-at-home dad? No, I wouldn't see that at all.
Right, but Apple TV Plus. Like I said, I've been considering getting an Apple TV thingy for a long time anyway, and this might just be what pushes me in that direction and says, you know, because I could get it for free, the TV Plus. I could get it for free with the Apple TV.
Yeah, so. It kind of gives you that extra perk for sure.
And now for our main story. Google has announced today that they're going to be acquiring the wearable fitness company Fitbit for $2.1 billion. Fitbit is a leading brand in the wearables market, focusing on health and wellness, and Google's senior VP of devices and services, Rick Osterloh, states that Google is looking to invest even more in Wear OS, which is their wearable operating system, as well as introduce made-by-Google wearable devices into the market. As of Q2 this year, Fitbit is number 2 in the North American wearable band market and number 5 globally, behind companies like Apple and Samsung. And while we're ranking things, this will be Google's 5th most expensive acquisition to date, right behind the data science software company Looker, which was acquired for $2.6 billion just this past June. So, Kristen, this is obviously not a new strategy for Google, not in the least. This is business as usual for them, acquiring companies. They've been doing it forever.
Right.
And how does it make you feel about the future of Fitbit in particular, them doing this? I know you're a Fitbit user yourself.
Yeah, I am. I've been a Fitbit user for quite some time, actually. Google and Fitbit's restructuring will be different. They've obviously obtained a big new team, a big set of wary users like myself, and a lot of big organizational issues. Fitbit has great customer service, and I'm interested to see how Google integrates with that.
Yeah, they. Some people are really look at the history of Google's past acquisitions as sort of like a red flag, because I think the number is that about a third of all of Google's acquired companies end up closing shop eventually. And Google says themselves that that's a good thing. That's a plus. I think somebody high up in Google said at one point that if their acquisitions, if they're not failing, then they're not taking enough risks.
Okay.
So that's one way to look at it, I guess.
I mean, it goes with their standards of instead of reinventing the wheel, they just kind of buy the blueprints for the wheel. They really try right. to integrate the best things that they've purchased, or they basically are trying to make it better.
Yeah, and that's not a bad strategy, I don't think. What I think that's happening here is that, you know, on the surface, it looks like they might be looking to make these wearables and put them on the shelves to sell. And I'm sure they're going to try doing that. But I don't think... First of all, I think that they've tried doing this before. They don't exactly have a good history in the wearables market. I mean, you can just look at things like Google Glass for how they've flopped,
of course,
with wearables in the past. So I don't know that acquiring Fitbit is the smart thing. There is trying to make the wearables something that because they keep trying and not succeeding. But I think the real strength here, because I think the acquisition of Fitbit is actually good, but it's because of the technology that they're getting behind the scenes.
Right.
So Fitbit is a really successful company, not just because they make cool cool fitness bands, which they are, but one of the reasons that they've been so incredibly successful, been a top 5 company in wearables, is the technology behind it, or the software behind it. They've developed a really great artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. and data collection, and that artificial intelligence helps to collect the data and sort of collate and analyze the data in a really meaningful and useful way for the users. So, and it, you know this better than anybody as being a Fitbit user yourself, right?
Right.
Like Google acquired Waze back in 2013, mm-hmm. right? They integrated that into Google Maps and you barely even noticed, but you suddenly started to see all these really great Waze features that Google Maps didn't have,
prior to
users being able to, prior to the acquisition, Waze had all these cool features about where users were able to live update changing conditions on the roads, right? And now that's been, they used Waze to integrate that into Google Maps. And that's what they do, is they take these companies, take the awesome stuff that they do and integrate it into their products. And I think that that's what you're going to start getting with Fitbit. Think about how when you look up a store like Burger King or something online, you just Google it and it'll show you all this data, like where it is. And but it also shows you things like their hours of like the hours that they're open. Burger King didn't tell them when they were open.
Right.
They don't tell them. You can see things like when they're busiest and when they're how busy they are right now. Nobody's giving them that information. They're collecting that data from people with Google devices in their pockets.
Yep.
Right. And so this Fitbit acquisition, Fitbit does that really well on their own, this passive collection of your health and wellness data. And so this is sort of like an extension there. Google can now collect another thing and possibly use that data in a different part of your life, in a different realm, and do stuff with it. Like maybe give you information about like okay.
Healthier choices or activities that they can do in that area.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to be over here. Well, maybe try walking over here and it'll help you do this. And, you know, or just, your heart rate, you know, it could just, who knows what they could do with
right.
it. They're passively collecting all this information and could provide their users with interesting, useful data and decision making that you weren't even thinking of. Rick Osterloh, one more time, even in this announcement, said something that I think really hints at this, which is, quote, "We believe technology is at its best when it can fade into the background, assisting you throughout your day whenever you need it." So I think that's a real hint at what they could be doing with stuff like this.
Yeah.
All right, before we wrap up, let's do what we like to do at the end of every episode and see what people had to say about yesterday's show.
Tech tweets.
We had a lot of response to yesterday's main story about how many members of Congress are fighting back against Facebook's political ad policy and how they are exempting paid political ads from their third-party fact-checking system. Chambers57 on Twitter said, "I don't think Facebook should be allowing political ads to bypass their third-party fact-checking system. Allowing politicians to spread lies about their opponents promotes dirty campaigning and disrupts the political process."
And Jerry HP, also at Twitter, "Facebook is following the same set of standards that local broadcasting television uses. They don't want to step on the toes of the FCC and get themselves into trouble."
Yes, good point. Also, MC Loomer on Twitter says, "Facebook ads are able to be targeted so specifically that it becomes incredibly difficult to campaign fairly. There should definitely be laws in place that require social media like Facebook to be transparent about how these ads are targeted." Thank you to everyone who gets in touch with us to let us know what they think about the show. If you would also like to let us know about today's show, you can tweet us at Morning Megabyte. Well, that's our show for today. You can catch us here at the same time tomorrow for the latest in tech news. Be sure to check out our show notes for links to articles and information related to today's stories. I'm your host, Bobby Frankenberger.
And I'm Kristen Stubblefield.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Morning Megabyte.
That was Morning Megabyte, the daily technology news entry from the Stick Figure Squad. On the next episode, it's our judging and elimination episode where we crown a winning team and a player goes home. Good night, America. Be good to one another. And we'll see you on the next episode of America's Next Top Podcaster.